Good day, friends. We again come to you, and I tell you again, and I don't mind telling it over and over again, I just love to sit down and talk to you folk about the Savior. To take the Word of God, this precious book, and by the Spirit of God, I trust by His Spirit, to relate to you, communicate to you in simple language, simplicity of truth, so that your own heart will rejoice in the Savior we have, to become His testimonies to men and women. We're dealing with the book of Acts, chapter 8, and now we start in at verse 26, and we go right down to the end of the chapter, and here we have the Lord dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch, God preparing to reach a man for Christ. Again, allow me to repeat, here's a man called Philip. He had had a tremendous, real moving of the Spirit of God in Samaria. It's the first move away from Jerusalem. And the result is a great many people accepted the Savior, were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter and John came down that they might receive the Spirit of God. And then God said, I want you to arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gezer, which is a desert. And he arose and went. Now, I was closing my last message with the fact of the obedience of this man, Philip. Go down to the desert. God is going to have him talk to one man. Oh, you say, Mr. Mitchell, it wouldn't be wonderful to be a preacher like some of these evangelists, some of these Bible preaching preachers, where they have people saved all the time, crowds being saved. Yeah, yes, but what about these men here and there, just to go and talk to one man about the Savior? Do you know, friend, may I say to you, sometimes it's harder to talk to one man than it is to preach a gospel or preach a message to a congregation that loves the Savior. As I said here in one of the preceding messages in the beginning of chapter 8, you remember, they went everywhere gossiping the gospel. If the reaching of the world for Christ is left to preachers, it'll never be done. It'll never, never be done. God expects every one of His children to be ready to give a reason for the hope within them. He's not asking you to be preachers or teachers, but just to give a testimony. And here's a wonderful illustration of it. Here's a man who was a preacher. In fact, he wasn't called to be a preacher. He was called to be a servant, to wait on tables. And I find him preaching the gospel. He's in love with the Savior. He's filled with the Spirit of God, filled with wisdom. He's got a good testimony. And when they were scattered, here you find Philip down in Samaria. Did he keep himself still? Oh, no, no. He preached the gospel, and God acknowledged his message, confirmed it with power, and a great move was made. Now God says, leave this so-called red-hot revival, if I can use those words, and go down into the desert. He didn't say why, just said, you go down to the desert. And he arose, and he went. He didn't know what was in store for him. Ah, this calls for a man who walks with God. God give us men and women today who will walk with God just day by day. For example, why don't you walk with God just for today? Just for today. Never mind tomorrow. Never mind your failures or blessings of yesterday. Today, just walk with God today. Just tell Him anything you want to. Talk to Him. Have fellowship with Him. Have Him talk to you through the Word of God. Have some fellowship with the Savior. Don't be surprised if the Lord will put people your way whereby you can witness for Him. Always be ready to give. As Peter says, be always ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you, without fear, without question, without doubting. God can use you. You say, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not a gifted man or woman. I didn't say that. He'll use you. He's got all the gifts. He's got all the power. All He wants is you. It's the problem. If I don't have somebody else's gift, somebody else's power, whatever it may be, you say, well, I guess God doesn't want me to do it. So you hide behind your unbelief. You hide behind your coldness of heart. You hide behind your indifference. If you were really concerned about men and women, every opportunity God puts you away, you'll say a word for Jesus. I'm not asking you to preach. Just talk about the Savior. If you love Him, talk about Him. You may not know very much, but tell him what you know, what's real to you. He said, well, I can't talk theology. Men don't want to hear about theology. The man of the world, what does he care about theology? What he needs is a Savior. You tell him about the Savior. Don't argue about it. Just proclaim it. Don't argue. The disciples never argued about Jesus. They never argued about the resurrection. They just proclaimed it, and God did the rest, you see. So, God sends him to talk to one man, this man Philip, to talk to one man in the desert. He leaves all the blessing, all the enthusiasm of a whole county to go into the desert. Didn't even know what God wanted to do, but he went. You see, we have here a prepared servant reaching a prepared heart. Can I put it this way? God works at both ends. Listen to it. And he arose and he went. God will never send his servant on a fool's errand. That's why he was obedient. That was why he was alert. You see, walking in precious, continual fellowship with God. And when you do that, you get to know God's plan and God's purpose. Why, what a team. What a team, God and Philip. What a team, you and God. God and you. Huh? What, you see, me? Yes, you. You don't know who I am. I don't care who you are. You don't know how I live. I don't care how you live. What I'm talking about is you. If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is with you. And if you mean business, he'll use you to the praise of the glory of his grace. He'll use you to the salvation, the eternal salvation of souls. He'll use you for his own glory. Now, I said a moment ago, God prepares his servant, and he prepares the other man. Let me read it. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, verse 27. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, he would come up and sit with him. Let me just stop here a moment. Now, here's a hungry man. You know, the thing that amazed me was, here's a man who's a statesman. And he's been at Jerusalem. I take it he's either a Jew from Ethiopia or he's a Gentile who's become a proselyte. That means he came in under the law of Moses and became a member of Israel that way. He's a proselyte. But he's a hungry man. He's hungry for God. And the sad thing is, he went to Jerusalem. He went to the temple to worship. And he came away hungry. Do you think God's going to leave him that way? I'm sure if God had said to Philip, I want you to talk to a statesman from Ethiopia, he would have balked on it. I think he would have said, you better send Peter and John down there. They're the apostles. They can deal with statesmen, the treasurer of the country of Ethiopia. No. I don't know what Philip's background was, but I will know one thing. He was a prepared man. Secondly, I know that this Ethiopian was a prepared heart. And I repeat it, just think if he'd gone to Jerusalem and had left still hungry. Where are all the Christians in Jerusalem? They've been scattered. Why didn't the apostles reach him? I don't know. All I know is that the man came to Jerusalem all the way from Ethiopia, and he'd gone all the way up the coast and come to Jerusalem to worship. He had a retinue of servants. He was a statesman of the country. And God said to Philip, join yourself to him. Join yourself to him. And I read that Philip ran, wholehearted obedience to God. He didn't even hesitate to talk. And he saw that cloud of dust down the highway, and God says, go and join yourself to him. And he ran to him. He didn't loiter along the way. He ran to this cloud of dust. When he got there, he was a chariot. He was a horseman. And he came to the chariot and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You know, I've oftentimes thought it must be awfully nice to talk to a man who was reading his Bible, huh? And tell him and open up the Bible to him. That would be a wonderful privilege, wouldn't it? Talk to a man who wants to know the Bible. And I'm sure there are a great many people who would like to know the Bible if someone could teach them. Why don't you teach them? Oh, you say, "I can't teach." Why don't you talk about your Savior? Because I read later on from that very same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Now remember, they only had the Old Testament. Personal work. Left him from a great red-hot revival to do some personal work. Wholehearted obedience. Do you know, I oftentimes wonder about this. I remember a friend of mine who was the head of a steel corporation in Texas. And I'm quoting this dear man. He was in an office building in Dallas, Texas. And as he was coming down the elevator, now this man is the head of a steel corporation. Very simple believer in Christ. As he came down the elevator, there was a man in the elevator who was a high finance man, a very rich man, very wealthy man. And that was his business, in dealing with high finance. And he was coming down the elevator. It came upon this man's heart to talk to this man, this financier, about the Savior. And when the elevator got to the ground floor, my friend stepped out of the elevator, and then he waited for the other man to step out. Instead of that, the door closed and the thing went down to the basement. So my friend walked down to the basement. When he got down there, this man, this financier, had a billiard cue in his hand, and he was chalking it, going to play a game of billiards. And my friend said to him, "Mr. So-and-so, the Lord's put upon my heart to talk to you about the Savior. Would you give me a few moments to talk to you about the Lord Jesus?" And this financier, still chalking his cue, said, mention this man's by name, for he knew him, he said, "I belong to my church, and my pastor says I'm all right. Good day, sir." And he turned his back on my friend, picked up the ball and began to play billiards. My friend turned around, came out. This was prayer meeting day. That night at the prayer meeting, my friend stood up and gave this testimony in prayer meeting, how he had talked to this man, wanted to talk about the Savior. And he said, "You know, before that man finished his game of billiards, he dropped dead with a heart attack." I never forgot that. My friend was willing to talk to this financier and ask him about his condition before the Lord. Was it well with his soul? He said, "My pastor says I'm all right." Boy, I'm not going to go by what my pastor says. I'm going to know, do I really know the Savior? Do I really know the Savior? I could tell you a number of cases like this. A friend of mine decided to go down and see his bank manager, the president of the bank, where he had banked all his life. And went down there and said, "I want to talk to you about the Savior." And he asked the question, "Has anybody ever talked to you about the Lord Jesus?" And he said, "You're the first man that's ever come into my office. You didn't ask for money. You came in, and I'll give you all the time you want." And he talked to him about his Savior. Nobody had cared for his soul. Oh, listen, friend. Sometimes I think these in high places, possibly high government circles, or heads of business, oftentimes they're left alone. They walk a lonely path, and nobody seems to care about their soul. Philip, you go down to the desert. I've got a hungry man, needs your testimony. And Philip arose, and he went and ran to the chariot. What I'm trying to get to your heart, don't be afraid to witness for the Savior if you love him. Now notice this man too. Going on to verse 31. You remember, Philip had said, "Understand? Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except somebody guide me?" And Philip went up into the chariot and sat down. And the place where the eunuch was reading was from Isaiah 53. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. He's quoting Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered to Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. From that same scripture he preached unto him Jesus. You see, friend, Christ is on every page. What I want you to get to your heart is God uses men. He uses you. He uses women. He uses his people, not an angel. He didn't send an angel down to the desert. He sent Philip. But I want you, he's sending a man who knows his Bible. From that scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. He saw Jesus on every page. I'm so glad that Philip knew his book. He knew his Bible. Do you? Do you? I'm accused of telling people too often to read their Bibles. But I must. I must. I read the other day where the Bible is the most printed book in the world in over 1,000 languages, and it's the least read book. Do you read it? You've got half a dozen copies in your home. Do you read it? Does your family read it? It's God's provision for your need. From that same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Do you remember what our Lord said in John chapter 5, at the end of the chapter? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote concerning me. Now, all the Ethiopian eunuch had was the Old Testament, but he was reading from Isaiah 53, that amazing passage which has to do with the death of our Savior. Do you remember you find it in chapter 50? He gave his back to the smiters. He gave his cheek to those who plucked off the hair. He hid not his face from shame or spitting. Chapter 52, at the end of the chapter, his face was marred more than any man's. 53, and so on. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is his dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You follow on through the chapter. Of whom did he speak? And from that same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Now, here's a hungry man. He wants the truth. His heart is open. His mind is open. Well, of course, the result would be saved. He accepted the Savior, and they went on their way. They came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Went all the way up the coast, preaching the gospel of Christ. And you don't find Philip again until Paul is coming back to Jerusalem, when he came to the house of Philip the evangelist. Just one more thing about this passage. You notice, this man confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Christ, the Son of God. And he was willing to openly, before his whole retinue of servants and soldiers, before them all, he confessed before them all in the waters of baptism that he was trusting Jesus Christ, who had died for him, to be their Savior. Now, I'm of the persuasion, now it's not in the text, but I'm of the persuasion that Philip must have preached to the whole group. Suffice to say, the Ethiopian went back, not empty, not hungry. I really went on his way rejoicing. Ah, a transformed man. He had met the Savior. He had passed from death to life. I tell you, friend, it's a wonderful thing. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And notice, he didn't need Philip anymore. He had Christ. He had the Word of God. He had the Spirit of God to teach him. As far as I know, there was nobody in Ethiopia who was a Christian. No one there to instruct him. He didn't need anyone. He didn't even need Philip. He had the Word of God. He had the Spirit of God. And he had the Savior What more do you need? Sometimes I receive mail from people who say, "My, I wish we had a church where they're taught the Word of God." If you love the Savior, my friend, the Lord will meet the hunger of your heart and of your mind. You have the Word of God, God's revelation to you. You have the Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you into all truth. So I just plead with your heart to take the Word of God. And remember, in closing, believer, may I quote again from 1 Peter 3:15, we are to be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is laid up for us. Be ready to give a testimony of the Savior. And if I'm talking to any unsaved person, may I say, my friend, to you, I don't care who you are, whether you're a rich or poor, bond or free, if you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Ethiopian eunuch did, he just simply put his trust in the Savior, bore testimony to that in the waters of baptism, and glorified God and went home rejoicing, and I'm sure Philip did too. And you rejoice today in your wonderful Savior.